Welcome to It's Your Community with Vanessa Denha, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to It's Your Community. I'm Vanessa Denha Garmo here with Epiphany Communications and Coaching. It is International Women's Month here in the month of March, and I wanted to talk with a local doctor, Dr. Peter Lassiter, about orthopedic care for women. He's from Synergy Health Partners, Mendelsohn Kornblum Group, a group of healthcare providers who focus on orthopedic care. Dr. Lassiter, how are you today?
Great, Vanessa. Thanks for having me today.
So I want to talk about, we're talking about women's sports and community building. And so what kind of typical injuries do you see in women's sports today?
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of common things that we see are knee injuries, whether it just be like a sprain or a strain, meniscal tears, ACL injuries. ACL injuries tend to be a higher prevalence of those in female athletes as compared to male athletes. So that's definitely something that we're seeing more.
You know, I remember a few years ago, Dr. Lassiter, I remember covering ER stories when I was a full-time reporter about injuries. And they said that the ER doctors, and I don't know if this is true from an orthopedic standpoint, but the number one injuries they were seeing was actually with basketball players. And I was actually surprised by that at that time. This was a few years ago. Is there one sport that you see more injuries than others?
Yeah, when it comes to, you know, if we're talking still about ACL injuries in women, kind of the highest risk sports are soccer is a big one. Volleyball is another one. Basketball definitely is one too. I'd say, you know, classically probably soccer is one you hear about a lot. And really the kind of reason for that is just because of differences in kind of how muscles work and which muscles are pulling stronger in women compared to men kind of puts them at higher risk for ACL injuries. They've done some research which show that females can have kind of different landing patterns when they're, you know, jumping and coming down in the air. And that's one of the reasons that puts them at higher risk for tearing their ACLs.
So my daughter skates. She was a competitive figure skater for a while, and then she went from skating to hockey.
Okay.
And you know, I remember there's a lot of injuries with skaters too. Can you speak to that sport? I mean, I just know, like, when you land, you talked about landing. I know with the jumps, we would see a lot of skaters have serious injuries too.
Yeah. You know, definitely if you're taking a hard fall on the ice, that can cause some bad injuries as well. You know, I'd say the thing to look for would be, you know, fractures, whether it be wrist fractures, if you're kind of coming down and landing on your hand outstretched, ankle fractures or sprains would definitely be another one that you would be at risk for.
So Dr. Lassiter, from an overall perspective, how has women's sports affected orthopedic care today?
You know, I think we're starting more and more to try and develop protocols and plans that are focused more on women's orthopedic health. I just had a meeting last week with my practice, some of the people who help run the physical therapy department of my practice, and we're trying to develop a kind of ACL prevention program, we're calling it, which is tailored towards female athletes because of the higher risk they have with ACL injuries. And this is something there's kind of been a lot more research on the past few years, and we're finding, you know, if we can get to these female athletes and go through a rehab protocol, it'll decrease the risk that they can have ACL tears throughout the season.
So it's more preventative than it is if actually they had an ACL tear?
Yeah, correct.
So how does that work? Like, how would you work with an athlete today?
So it's setting up a protocol, which they can vary in length. You know, I'd say on average, maybe 6 weeks or so. And the goal is to kind of get to them before they start the season. So if they're starting a soccer season, you know, starting this couple weeks before, and you know, everyone's plan is a little bit different, but it involves you know, strengthening neuromuscular control, working on landing mechanics, so you are less at risk for tearing ACL if you kind of land in more of a certain way. And doing that, you know, sessions can range anywhere from, you know, 10 to 30 minutes, and doing that a couple times a week.
So Dr. Lester, for people listening here in It's Your Community may need a freshen up of what is the ACL and how common is it for it to tear?
Yeah. So ACL stands for anterior cruciate ligament, and they call it a cruciate ligament because the other ligament that people have probably heard of is the PCL. That's the posterior cruciate ligament. So the ACL is in the middle of the knee along with the PCL, and they kind of make a cross between the two of them. So that's how the name cruciate gets there. And the ACL runs from the end of your thigh bone or your femur, and then connects to the top of your shin bone or the tibia. And it's kind of got two main functions. You know, one main function is it kind of prevents the shin bone or the tibia from sliding too far forward in relation to the thigh bone. So providing stability to the knee with that regard. And then it also prevents the shin bone from twisting or rotating too much in relation to the femur. So in those two instances, it helps provide a lot of stability to the knee.
So Dr. Lester, if a man and a woman suffer the same kind of injury, is the recovery different? I mean, do men and women recover different from the same kind of injury?
You know, I'd say if they end up having surgery and going through post-operative rehab and things like that, altogether, I'd say no. You know, we're still having the same goals after surgery that comes in stages with, you know, stage one after surgery is, you know, getting the pain and swelling down and getting the patient's range of motion back to normal. After you get that, then you start focusing more on strengthening, and then you can move more into jogging and running and things like that, plyometric exercises. And then kind of the very end is, if it's a competitive athlete, kind of getting them back to whatever sport that they were playing. And, you know, the rehab process can kind of focus and tailor in on that. And that involves the physical therapists, if there are athletic trainers or anything like that who are associated with the patient's team, they can be involved in well as well. So, I mean, it depends, you know, if there are different sports that we're trying to get back to towards the end, that can, you know, change the approach a little bit. But in all, you know, the basic goals between males and females are the same when it does get back to rehab after ACL surgery.
And can that take weeks, months till you can even get back to playing the sport?
Yeah. Months for sure.
Okay.
You know, usually what I tell my patients is that, kind of at the earliest, what you should expect to be able to get back to playing competitive sports is around 9 months or so. And it can take up to a year sometimes. Yeah.
That's a bummer for a lot of the athletes, yeah. Right? You know, they have to be out of a sport. Dr. Peter Lassiter is who we're talking to here on It's Your Community, a surgeon with Synergy Health Partners, Mendelsohn, Kornblum, a group of healthcare providers who focus on orthopedic care. I remember many, many years ago, Dr. Lassiter, I was rollerblading with my nieces and nephews who were very young at the time. And I fell, and my sister insisted that it was a sprain. And I said, no, I think I broke my wrist. And she's like, no, it's just a sprain. Well, I insisted on going to the ER and it was broken. Mm-hmm. So can we tell the difference between a sprain and a break?
Yeah. You know, in an instance like that, it can be very difficult to tell, you know, without having x-rays of what's just a sprain and what's a break. my advice would be, you know, if you have a significant fall or event or something where you injure yourself and you have a lot of pain and swelling in that area, my advice would be seek medical attention and find out for sure with an x-ray, because, you know, sometimes sprains can be very swollen and painful and it's not a break. And sometimes breaks might not be as bad as a bad sprain sometimes, but you really have to just know for sure by getting x-rays. So I'd say that's the final determinant.
So on that note then, Dr. Laster, when do we know when to go to the urgent care or ER opposed to try to treat ourselves or wait to a doctor appointment?
Yeah, good question. You know, if it's an injury that's in your leg or your ankle or your foot or something like that, for sure, if you're having trouble walking or putting weight on that leg, that can be an indicator that there's something else going on. So I'd say if you're having trouble walking or putting weight, I would recommend seeking medical attention in that instance. If it's something involving your arm or wrist or something like that, you know, you kind of have to look at, you know, is there a lot of swelling? Are you having a lot of pain if you're trying to move that joint? You know, in your case, it'd be like, do you have pain if you're moving your wrist joint? If you injured your elbow, are you having a lot of pain if you're trying to move your elbow? Same thing with your shoulder. So those are kind of some of the things you look at if you need to get more medical attention if you're having those symptoms.
Yeah, I remember, Dr. Laster, when I fell at rollerblading and I insisted I broke it, within an hour, my whole wrist just blew up. It just swelled up. Yep. And then I was in so much pain, I couldn't do anything with my right hand.
Right.
And I kept it. She was like, no, we're just going to put ice on it. I'm like, no, I'm telling you, it's broken. Uh-huh. So it was broken. Yeah. And it was the day before my sister's bridal shower and 6 weeks before my sister's wedding. And my mom was upset because I had a cast on. I had to beg the doctors to take the cast off the day before the wedding. I'm like, please, my mom will kill me if I have a cast in these wedding pictures.
Yeah. Injuries always seem to happen with very convenient timing.
I know. So Dr. Lester, I know you talked a little bit about preventative care and a program that you have, but are there other ways to prevent injury? If you're getting back into a sport or trying a new sport, I mean, any way that we can overall prevent injuries?
Yeah. You know, I'd say to start with, you know, anytime you're going out and doing any type of exercise or new sport, you know, for that day, you know, do proper stretching before starting, getting warmed up, getting your heart rate up. And this just helps your muscles and tendons loosen up and provides more flexibility overall. And that'll prevent you from, you know, injuring yourself that day, hopefully. If you're just picking up a new sport and it's, you know, something that you're not used to, my recommendation would be, you know, ease into it. Don't take it slow. Don't try and go, you know, 0 to 100 day one. Cause that's a lot of times how injuries can happen. If you kind of have to let your body adjust and, get conditioned into getting into a new sport or activity.
Okay. So Dr. Laster, does climate play a role in how we, warm up or stretch before an exercise, like Michigan's weather versus being in Florida?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'd say it's even more important to make sure you're getting properly warmed up and stretching if you're planning to go out in the cold and run or something like that, just because your body is already going to be exposed to colder temperatures. So you want to make sure you're that much more warmed up and your muscles and tendons are loose to avoid injury. You know, make sure to wear the proper clothing if you're going out, depending on the activity and the weather and things like that. Dress in layers to stay warm, but not to overheat. And you can take layers off if you're getting too hot. And then just being mindful of the conditions. Is it wet? Is it slippery? Avoid falling and things like that because of the weather.
Yeah. I mean, I see too, like sometimes when you're in black ice, you can even be just, I know from my experience, walking the dog and fall, you know what I mean? Because of black ice and not realize it's ice on the ground. So hopefully we're moving past
any activity in Michigan weather can be hazardous. So yeah,
that's for sure. So Dr. Peter Lassiter, when someone is looking for an orthopedic care provider, such as yourself or surgeon, what kinds of questions should they be asking? What should they look for? So they know they're picking a good, the proper one for them.
Yeah, you know, I think when looking for an orthopedic provider, you know, you want to find somebody who you're comfortable with, who will listen to you, somebody who's going to sit down and kind of give you the time to fully hear your story out and examine you and kind of go through the proper process of working an injury up.
So we talked a little bit about recovery, I know, but I want to get back to that. How important is it that people give themselves enough time? You said sometimes up to a year to recover so they don't re-injure that part of their body.
Yeah, I mean, the recovery portion is a crucial part, and especially in, ACL surgery and things like that, you know, the surgery is kind of just the tip of the iceberg. And then for the patient, you know, the long haul is the months down the road after that. And really, you know, to do the rehab properly, you have to go regularly and often. You have to get to know your therapist very well. And really what you're doing by the end there is you're strengthening that knee or whatever it is in order to get you back into sports. So you can have a new ACL that we, you know, put in during surgery, but you have to have the surrounding muscle strength and things of that nature to support the knee, because, you know, if your muscles are weak and you try and go back to playing sports, it's not going to go well.
You know, we were talking primarily about women's sports today here with you because it's International Women's Month. But does pediatric orthopedic care differ much from adult care because children are still growing, like they sustain an injury?
Yes, definitely. You know, there is a whole subspecialty for pediatric orthopedics. There are people who do special fellowships just focusing on pediatric orthopedic surgery, and kind of the thing that, you know, we kind of always say in medicine is that, you know, children aren't just like small human or small adults. You know, they are small humans, but they aren't just like small adults. They have their bodies work differently. You know, whether it comes to, you know, how they react to drugs and medications and things like that, but when it comes to orthopedic side of things, they're drastically different. You know, if a child breaks their bone, you know, they will heal that a lot faster than an adult will, and you can also have a lot more lenience in you know what you treat without surgery as compared to what needs surgery in an adult. And that's because in children the bones heal a lot more efficiently and quicker because their bones are still growing. Their bones are what we call remodeling as they're growing. So if a bone is, you know, healing in a more angulated direction or something like that, it can correct over with time and then gets to a point when they're adults that, you know, it's hard to even tell they had a fracture or something like that. You know, the other thing it comes down to with children, you know, if we're talking about, let's just say, ACL injuries, you know, it's kind of a different ball game with children, you know, the younger they are, because of things like growth plates and things like that kind of change the way we approach the injuries and surgeries and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Peter Lassiter, if somebody is injured, they end up in the ER or their doctor's office or primary care office, do they often get referred to you by another physician?
I'd say, yeah, a lot of times they do. Mm-hmm. You know, we see quite a few patients who initially had come through the ER, and if there wasn't anything to kind of keep them at the hospital and have them stay admitted, then they're discharged and then are told to follow up with orthopedic surgery. Same thing goes with, having people come in to see their primary care doctor, and then, you know, primary care doctor may order some x-rays or something and then find out that they have arthritis or concern for an injury or something like that. So then they'll come up and end up with us in that way. Mm-hmm. I guess a positive thing that our practice is starting, and we're planning to open up next week as an orthopedic urgent care through our practice. And the hope that we have with that is, you know, if people have injuries to their extremities that needs orthopedic expertise and attention, that, you know, they can come and see us 7 days a week, and we can, you know, take x-rays or set up further tests or imaging down the line that they may need. I think, you know, especially in this day and age with COVID and hospitals and ERs getting overpopulated, I think everyone's a little weary still of having to go to the hospital unless they absolutely have to. And, you know, it kind of provides another option to patients if they have an injury or something like that that needs to be looked at.
Where's that located, Dr. Lassiter? Where's that going to be located?
Yeah, so we're going to have one orthopedic urgent care open up at our Livonia office location, which is on 5 Mile Newburgh, just across from St. Mary's Hospital. So that'll be opening up, I believe it should be opening next week is what the plan is. And then we're going to have a second location up in kind of the Sterling Heights, Utica area with a facility we're partnering with, the Greg Grant Sportsplex. So that one's still, they're still kind of finishing up with the building and the permits and things like that. But the hope is, like, in the next month or so, that hopefully that one will be up and running as well.
Great. Any information you want to share with our listeners, a website, phone number, anything like that?
So our website here, let me just make sure that I'm telling you, for some clarification for listeners so they're not confused. A parent company is called Synergy Health Partners, called Mendelsohn Kornblum Orthopedics. Mendelsohn Kornblum Orthopedics is a name I think a lot of people probably heard because it's a practice that's been around for over 50 years. One of the founders, another of some of my partners here, helped start the practice over 50 years ago. Mm. But so we still want to kind of preserve that name, but then, you know, we're trying to kind of have a broad approach to musculoskeletal care. We have, other than just orthopedics, you know, we have pain management doctors, rheumatology, podiatry, spine, things like that. So that's kind of the Synergy Health Partners is encompassing all that. But our website is just mendelsohnortho.com. And if you go there, then you'll see links to kind of all of our different areas with musculoskeletal care.
Great. Dr. Peter Lassiter, thank you for joining us here on It's Your Community.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, Vanessa.
Great conversation. It is International Women's Month. We're talking about women in sports and orthopedic care with Dr. Peter Lassiter here. If any questions or comments or topics you want me to get to, you can go to Epiphany Communications and Coaching. You can email me from there. You can also go to any of my social media platforms, including Epiphany Communications and Coaching on Facebook, or Vanessa Denha-Garmo on Twitter, Instagram, and on LinkedIn. As always, remind our listeners to connect, communicate, and collaborate with your community. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.
It's Your Community. a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.